Shabbat Shalom on this beautiful Saturday. It's good to be back after a few weeks off. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Now, you can listen to this program later in the week by simply going to shofarministries.net and take some notes, because every program has good insights that you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement that God expects us to pursue with diligence, right? Well, first, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want to ask our Abba Father, forgive us if we've had sins this week. Cleanse us as we study your word. Open our eyes and our ears by your Holy Spirit so that we understand what you have to say to us from your word today. Please remember all the prayer requests that have come in the mail this week. Help those that are in need, and help us to remember to help those in need. And I pray in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, John. Shabbat Shalom to you, too. I just want to tell people to sometimes we're not on the air because of a pre-scheduled football schedule. And I guess now Case Western is in the playoffs, so there'll be a few other Saturdays that we won't be on. But thanks to Lou, he has put a calendar on my website. And if you go to the calendar, you can actually see what Saturdays we're on and what Saturdays we're not on.
Well, that was smart thinking.
Yes, thank you, Lou.
Yes.
And I also want to remind people that on the second and fourth Saturdays, that's not tonight, but next week, at 6:15 is Shofar Assembly. And I sure hope that some of you can come out and join us. It's really not that far away. It's in Burton, Ohio. And if you want to call me for directions, I can give that to you, 440-834-9006. At the Berkshire Hills Apartments, a community room.
Sheila, we should probably tell the listeners about an upcoming event that they can mark on their calendars.
Oh, yes. Thank you, John, for reminding me. We both, you and I, will be in Cleveland having a Shofar night at the Oasis Fellowship Church. That's 11405 Bel Air Road on December 6th, which is a Sunday at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have live Messianic worship music with the one and only
John Bartlett.
Could that be you?
Yeah.
And the worship team at Oasis Fellowship Church. So if there's anyone out there that could maybe help us distribute some flyers to help promote this gala event, it would be really helpful because...
Yes, if you missed this information, go to our calendar webpage, shofarministries.net, where it's posted, or email, or just call Sheila. That's all you have to do. Now, since some live on the west side and it's kind of a far drive out to Burton, this is going to be very convenient for you. Oasis Church is located near I-90, I-71, and I-480. So it's where all those three almost come together there. So it's easy to get to, and just take a freeway. Take a freeway, any freeway. It's free, of course. This whole program will be free. An offering will be taken to help keep this program, Shofar Ministries Hour, on the air. So it is sort of a fundraiser because, you know, we may be on the air, but we don't run on air. So,
yes, and I hope everyone caught what we just said.
Yes.
But also there will be some things that they might want to purchase. You know, we're going to have some tambourines and some prayer shawls, which we're going to talk about today, by the way.
Oh, good.
And a little bit of jewelry and some T-shirts. And, you know, so there will be things to get.
And
my DVDs will be on sale there, too.
DVDs. Now, those calendars will be important, especially for those of you that follow our program and you want to keep up on the Jewish holidays or the biblical feast days. These are all marked on these calendars, right? These are the...
On the computer?
No, on the Messianic calendars that we will have.
We have two calendars. We have the schedule on my computer,
right.
And we also have the Jewish calendars available.
But I'm talking about some of the calendars we're going to bring with us out to Oasis.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, so if you like this unique kind of teaching in the live open forum, please, we could use your help to keep this show on the road. On the air.
Can you tell we've been off for 3 weeks?
Yeah, maybe that was a promise Okay, I'm going on the road.
Maybe we are going on the road.
Well, anyway, come out and support us. I'll be teaching on why Christians should recognize Hanukkah and the end times, as well as opening it up for your questions. So, of course, we will sing some great Messianic and fun worship songs. So bring your tambourines, your flags, your shofars.
And plan on being blessed. And we'll be opening up the phone lines later this hour. Should you have any Hebraic roots or end times questions or a question about the parashah?
That's right. And, John, you know, I think now would be a good time to comment on a question that someone asked me about 3 weeks ago, actually, now. But it's about the Hebrew word Abba. Now, you use that when you open up with prayer, and, of course, I gave her the simple answer at the time that it's Hebrew for father. But then last week, a friend of mine let me listen to a teaching tape where he talked about the deeper meaning of the word Abba. So I'd like to share that with our listeners today. But the word Abba means more than just father. Abba is a term of endearment, more like a daddy who rides you around the house or kisses you on the neck, only cries with you when you are sick, and laughs at your not-so-funny jokes. And this is really interesting. I found out that in Hebraic thought, Abba actually means, I long for your smell. Have you ever longed for the Lord's smell in your house? That sweet incense? You know, that smell like the incense in the holy place of the temple? Which was an aroma going up to heaven that symbolized prayers. But here's the gold nugget. You had to be in at least the holy place, which is past the outer court of the temple, and you could only get in the holy place after washing in the water in this huge laver that would wash them clean of the sacrifice they had just made on the brazen altar. Now for us today, it means washing in the water of the Word. You see, it's that Word that prepares us and gets us closer to Him in the Holy of Holies. You know, Ephesians 5:26 says we are sanctified or set apart by the washing of the water of the Word. And just like in the temple, they could not get closer to God until they washed in the water. Now, there's a lot of spiritual symbolism here, and
yes,
Christians today are just praying without getting washed. So the incense isn't really burning because they really can't get into the holy place. And finally, it's the Word that puts on the armor of protection from the fiery dart of the evil one, especially in our minds. You know, we need that helmet, and it only comes by the Word. Have you ever tried to pray and been distracted?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the enemy. And if we're in our Word, we're washed in the water of the Word, then we can have that helmet of protection on of Jesus, and then we can pray more effectively. The fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much.
That's a wonderful gold nugget and a very useful one, too, to help our prayers be more effective. Now, God hears our prayers.
Oh, sure He does. I mean, he even hears the prayers of
even
the
if
others.
We don't read our Bibles, he hears our prayers. Yeah. But
what about effective?
Effective.
You know, it's going right up like incense going to his nostrils.
Yes.
You know?
That is what is really cool. Well, I hate to get off that, but I want to ask you, do you have any news stories that we should be hearing?
Oh, yes, I do, actually. And, well, first of all, the United States Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, is still trying over in Israel to halt their settlements in the West Bank. And Prime Minister Netanyahu keeps stalling by saying okay to new ones, but must finish those already contracted. So in other words, she's saying, okay, stop all settlements, and he's going, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because
sure.
There's a lot already contracted, and he won't go back on what he's already signed to do.
Well, no.
Okay?
He's an honest guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So then the Palestinians say, well, then we can't talk at all because we want all contracts immediately stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no more building. And, of course, this is not going to happen. So the talks are solved. And what else is new? I mean, they've been talking for as long as I've been born.
It's the Middle East cat and mouse game going on again. But you can count on Netanyahu to protect his people, honor promises, contracts.
Yes, I think so.
And,
And by the way, the Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, says he will not run for re-election in January. And he has said that many times before, actually, and something always changes his mind. So we'll see what happens. Also, the Hamas has successfully tested a new missile, launching it this time as a test from the west, to the west from the Gaza coast. And when fired north overland, it could reach Tel Aviv. This is not good. Not good at all.
Well, that's Tel Aviv. It's the hub of commerce and
the
airport.
Big city.
Yes.
It is revealed that Iranian arms were reaching Hezbollah and Hamas through Syria. Nothing new. But also now Turkey is starting to take a place in that, too. And, again, you know, the Bible says all nations will come against Israel. But it was definitely confirmed, actually, this week when Israel intercepted a huge ship carrying 300 tons of weapons believed to have originated in Iran and meant for Hezbollah.
In Hezbollah in Gaza or?
No, Hezbollah is actually up in Lebanon.
In Lebanon.
Yeah.
So this
it's
was
Hamas
intended to
in
go
Gaza.
Up there in
oh,
Lebanon.
Oh, yeah. They're getting these weapons. And thank goodness that Israel was able to intercept this because
wow. It
was definitely meant for Israel. And Netanyahu who says this constitutes a war crime and it should be reviewed by the United Nations.
Right.
Well, you know how that is. And Iran comes back saying, that's piracy, taking our ship, you know, all that kind of. So he's accusing them of that. So it's crazy. It's just crazy. But the question still remains, and nobody really knows the answer, what's going to be done with Iran. They agreed a couple weeks ago to send their uranium to other countries for enrichment so that they would not be enriched too much, I guess is how it works, to be used for nuclear. Because they say, oh, no, we only use it for energy. So other countries were going to enrich it for them and send it back that could only be used for energy. And they agreed to that. And now just this week they said, oh, we don't think we're going to do that. So they keep stalling, keep agreeing to certain things to give them another week. It's
in the meantime, they're probably enriching uranium like crazy
to the
point of nuclear.
We know that.
To be used in nuclear weapons.
But then doesn't the Bible say that Iran, which is called Persia in the Bible, will gain this kind of stuff? call this nuclear stuff.
Nuclear stuff.
So they'll feel confident and they will attack Israel along with others. Mm. Ezekiel 38 tells us who those others are. One's Russia and Libya, a couple others.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen. The Bible says it will. So anything that we do to Iran really would just slow down the process a little bit. Eventually it's going to happen. And we'll be out of here by then, by the way.
Oh, just so you know.
Yeah.
And pray for Israel.
Absolutely. Pray for the peace of
Jerusalem.
Yeah,
I'll make it.
John, when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what are we really saying?
We are saying, come back, Lord.
Messiah. You betcha. Because he's the only one that can bring that peace.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's going to fight for them, too, when all the nations turn against him. He has already.
Absolutely. Everything's in his timing.
Yeah.
Okay, just a little bit more news. I wanted to mention, too, that today the House is going to be voting, I guess, on the health care reform. And, John, you and I have talked about this before. We don't want to get too political because not that we shouldn't be too political because, you know, we should care.
We live in a political culture.
Yeah.
So you can't help.
But we only have an hour here.
I know. And We're about the prophecy in the Bible. So.
That's right. And the things that we teach, you're not going to hear in church.
That's right.
You know, so I'm going to keep this short, but I do want to just make a comment that if this health care reform is passed, I believe it's going to take away a lot more of our freedoms. And in reality, you can get free health care. It really is available right now. If you really can't afford it, just go to your local hospital, tell them your situation, and they work with you. And sometimes you can even get it totally free, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, I think this is just a way to get more of our rights taken away. I think that is the whole socialistic plan that's going down. And I'll tell you, I never have had time to really focus too much on it. But lately there's been a stirring in my heart. And the reason for this, I believe, is because our new president is taking us down the road so quickly that it's upsetting me. And I think of my grandchildren, and I'm going to be having 7 here next year. And I worry about what they're taught in school. I worry about their indoctrination. So I think if I can do just even a little, everybody could do a little, maybe it would help to keep us in the God-centered nation that we were founded on. But I want to tell you, and I want to tell my listeners, I went to my very first Tea Party Yeah, like the Boston Tea Party, John, not the other Tea Party.
Not the other Tea Party,
no.
Okay.
And, you know, I just got to tell a little quick story because it's been stirring in my heart that I should do a little bit, you know, even if it just means a phone call to my congressman once in a while. And I knew that there was a Tea Party going on in Chardon, which I would have had to get in my car and drive to Chardon, even though it's only 10, 15 minutes away. I just didn't want to take my Bible time away because that day I was going to study my Bible, and that always comes first in my life, you know. My Bible is first, and then if there's time for other things, then we go with that. And I encourage people to have that same program.
Mm-hmm.
But then, a couple weeks later, there was a tea party in my backyard. Well, practically in my backyard. I could walk there over to the Burton Fairgrounds, and I just felt a stirring. I was supposed to go, so I did. And I walked over, and I was very, very impressed. The people were wonderful. They're full of love. There was nobody, you know, bad-mouthing anybody, just saying that we want our rights back. We're tired of being tread upon.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up in scripture. We prayed. I mean, I saw little groups of people praying together, asking the Lord to help. And it was just so moving that I had to sit down and listen. And I did. And there was this man that came out. His name is Tim Cox. And he says that he has a definite plan, written out plan on how to take the House of Representatives back, hopefully by the year 2010. Now, I'm not going to get into too many details on that again. I don't want to take the time. But there is a webpage that everybody can go to see the plan on video and also hear the plan. And then you make up your own mind what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that I would tell people it's called the Go Party, but it's spelled G with three O's and an H.com. And it means get out of our house. com. So it's G, three O's and an H, the Go Party. And then you can click on the video and you can see exactly what his plan is. And I'll tell you, it made a lot of sense to me. And right in the middle of his plan, John, when he was talking about it, people started pointing up to the sky. There was a huge rainbow and it hadn't even rained.
Now.
Seriously.
Okay, I was quiet up until this point.
Okay.
But you say that you saw, did you see that as a sign of some sort? Or?
I, you know, I'm not going to say. I just know that that rainbow was there and it wasn't raining.
Okay.
And everybody kept pointing up to the rainbow, you know. It was like, wow, you know, could God say I'm with you on this?
Hmm.
I don't know. I would hope so.
I hope so, too.
We were found on Christian principles. And by the way, I have some really good words of wisdom here. I think we should read, okay?
Okay.
There's a couple of them.
A couple of them?
Yeah. Not too many, but I have a couple. Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. And indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. That just touched me. And then here's, see if you can guess who this one is.
Okay.
A government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have.
Wow.
The course of history shows that as a government grows, liberty decreases. Do you know who might have said that?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, he probably did. Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he even said, God forbid we should ever have even 20 years without a rebellion.
Oh, oh my God.
One more. This is, I'll even tell you, it's Abraham Lincoln. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution.
Interesting.
And one more, I keep saying one more, but these are so good. Benjamin Franklin, any society that would give up a little liberty to gain a little security will deserve neither and lose both. Wow.
Well, definitely, our founding fathers were definitely wiser than anyone I've seen come down the pike in my short lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm just saying your Bible time should be first.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't read your Bible all day and it's time to go to your tea party, don't go to the tea party. You sit down and you read your word.
There you go.
That's my advice. Now, if you're in your word and there's something that you can do that you can help, even if it just means make a phone call, find out who your congressmen are, tell them how you feel. The emails don't work as well, I understand. They really don't read them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but a phone call, they do have to answer the phone. The secretaries answer, they take your messages, and they know what's happening. And I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I used to always say, well, the Lord's coming back, so it really doesn't matter. But you know what? He's not back yet.
Yes.
And we should occupy till he comes. And I worry about my children and my grandchildren. And high taxes they're going to end up having to pay.
Well, for him that knows to do right and doesn't do it is a sin. And I've heard that quoted a lot on the station. I won't say who by who. But if you have the knowledge and you know you can stop something that isn't right.
Or at least help. You know, we're going to have to stand in front of God someday.
I'm not going to give my side. I'm not going to tell you whose side I'm on, you know, in any of this. But if you know something and you feel compelled to act on it, you do it.
Yeah, amen. And again, we're going to stand in front of the judge one day, every single person.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, hey, I tried to keep God in America.
Yes.
You know, even though the Bible says evil's getting worse and worse, and it is, okay? But maybe we can slow it down before he comes. I don't know, but I think it's worth it.
I don't know. I think it's up to us to do as much good as we can. Because we have Jesus in our hearts, I think it's our obligation to try to do as much good with as much love as possible in the time that we're given.
That's right. So go to GOOH.com. Listen to what Tim Cox says on the videos. He has a perfect plan about he needs 500,000 people, and that's really not a lot. And it's not going to be very costly either. So I think it's great to at least go and listen to it, right?
Okay.
Okay. I think we're going to do our commercials, and then when we come back, we'll have time to talk about the Talit and the history of it.
Okay.
Okay.
And that'll be fun. So stick around for that. If you have any questions now, the lines will be open for your end time eschatology or questions about the Talit. And the phone numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. So that is 888-677-9673. I would also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax deductible, and your donations are really, really needed to stay on the air. And our gift to you for doing this will be a handmade cross for your wall or yard sent directly to you. Send any donation to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or you may give through shofarministries.net. And you can use PayPal as well. And perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio right here. You can reach Sheila for details about that by calling 440-834-9006.
Please call.
And I would like to remind you about one of our faithful sponsors, and that is Mullet Masonry. They work with either brick, block, or stone. Their work is impeccable. It's earned them a great reputation. They service residential like chimneys and restorations, as well as bigger commercial type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced and they do great work. They're affordable and they're nice people. Hey, need a free estimate? Just call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177, and give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work done. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. And be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW. Now, the lines are open for your end time questions. Again, the number is 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD.
And I'd like to thank Nicole Maroos, who is a sponsor to this show, a local representative of the all-natural Arbonne Health and Beauty Products, who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type. Also, Nicole realizes if you've never tried Arbonne, you might not realize how great it is. So for a limited time, when you call her, she will send you a complimentary sample pack of Arbonne skincare products, because this is not just face makeup. It's about having a healthy, glowing skin. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. And remember, Arbonne is non-toxic, very important in these infectious days. So call 440-840-2176 and tell Nicole you heard about her on WHK, because I got to tell you, people, you need to help us and use these sponsors, because that's really why we're on the air. They're helping. So We just need you.
And stay with us now. Don't go away. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song from Ohio's own born and bred, but not corn-fed, Laura Fedor, doing a song called Operator. And we'll be right back after that. Stay with us.
Stay with us.
Has an animal enriched your life? Sunday, November 8th from 2 to 5 p.m. on Time Warner Cable Channel 23. Please tune in to the live Save the Animals Telethon. Your donations and gifts support the Humane Society of Greater Akron and will help save abused, abandoned, and neglected animals in our area. The Save the Animals Telethon, live on Time Warner Cable Channel 23, Sunday, November 8th from 2 to 5 p.m. For more, go online to summithumane.org.
Introducing Lee Strobel, author of The Case for Christ.
I'm a skeptic by nature. When my daughter Allison said she was going on eHarmony.com to find the love of her life, I did what any good journalist does. I doubted, but I also started digging, and I found that eHarmony is more than a dating site. It's a relationship site founded on 35 years of research into what makes marriages work. Allison ended up meeting her husband, Dan, the love of her life, and they are two of the most compatible people I've ever known. eHarmony matched them based on who they are on the inside, their faith, values, the way they view the world. A perfect fit. Now I've been blessed with two wonderful grandkids. And it doesn't stop there. An average of 236 people a day get married after meeting on eHarmony. So if you're single, I highly recommend eHarmony.
Take the first step toward changing your life. Visit eHarmony.com to review your compatible matches absolutely free. Don't put it off another minute. Try eHarmony.com today.
Writers who publish the old-fashioned way tell a lot of the same stories. A compromised message, little control over the product, and a year or more before a book is on the market. Want to keep your book yours? Self-publish with Zulon Press. Specializing in Christian authors, Zulon Press requires no compromises, gets your book in print in a fraction of the time, and 100% of the reward is yours. Learn more with your free self-publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com. Your book, your message, your rewards. ChristianPublishing.com.
Operator, give me information. Information, give me long distance. Long distance.
Please give me Jesus on the line.
And welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Operator by our own Laura Fedor.
Right, and if you would like her to sing at your event or anything, just let us know. We'll give you get
you in touch with her. Former Nashville Star contestant.
That's right.
And a nice girl as well.
Okay,
well, let's see. I want to give you those phone numbers right now. We're getting into the second half here, and we're going to be talking about the prayer shawl.
Yeah.
And those phone numbers are 216-901-0933, or you can dial 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D.
Right. If you have a question on the end times especially, give us a call. And we're going to talk about some Hebraic roots now.
Yeah, and we're going to learn something about that prayer shawl.
We are, and you know what? There's many symbols of Judaism that we could talk about, and as weeks go on, we probably will cover each one.
We'd like to.
Yeah. Things like the Star of David,
mm-hmm.
The Tefillin, the mm-hmm. Menorah, the Mezuzah, the Decalogue, the Shofar, the Shema.
Yeah.
There's lots of things to talk
lots
about.
Lots of things we could talk about.
But today, we're going to talk about the Tallit.
Okay.
And give a little history and what happened through the years, where it is today.
Yes.
Okay. Often when we talk and think about Jewish men and their worship, we do picture a Jewish man kind of wrapped in his tallit
mm-hmm.
today. But let's look at Numbers 15:37, and let's see what God says about it. And then we'll go from there.
And this is an important commandment in Judaism, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, this I'll read this from the my version here. It says,
the Jewish version?
The Jewish version.
Okay.
It says, Adonai said to Moshe, speak to the people of Israel, instructing them to make, through all their generation, tzitziot on the corners of their garments, and to put with the tzitziot, or the tzitzit, on each corner a blue thread. It is to be a tzitzit for you to look at and thereby remember all of Adonai's mitzvot, or commandments, and obey them, so that you won't go around wherever your own heart and eyes lead you to prostitute yourselves. But it will help you remember and obey all my mitzvot and be holy for your God. I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to be your God. I am Adonai, your God.
All right. Wow. That really says it detailed.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So basically, what he's saying is you put these tassels,
mm-hmm.
these strings, on the four corners of your garment to remind you of me and my commandments and my Torah.
Don't forget. It's okay. A visual reminder. It's a good
visual reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And they could hold them, too.
Yes.
Touch them and stuff. So originally, that's what they did. And that's what they only did to extinguish them from the other nations or peoples. They'd apply, first of all, a blue hem, I understand, that matched the color of the high priest. And then they would attach on each corner these tassels or these strings with knots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain that more in a little bit. But these would remind them of the commandments given by God. So not originally an extra garment or a shawl that we see today, but actually worn on their outer garment. Okay, now the outer garment would be like a hand's breadth higher than the other undergarment, sometimes called a tunic. So they would wear two garments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the first garment was like long to the ankle, and then the second garment would be over that, about a hand's breadth away from the bottom of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would put these tassels on the four corners of the garment.
Sort of so like a real long, long vest.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But,
yeah,
of course, not to be dragged on the ground or anything
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would attach the hem so that they would stay on pretty well. Okay? Okay, so that's the original. But during the Babylonian captivity, the Jews began to adapt the Gentile fashions and would then just attach the tassels, or the tzitzit, is what you call it in Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
to whatever they were wearing. And that continued through the Greek attire of Alexander the Great. So they always had the tzitzit to whatever they were wearing after that.
Okay.
But as we get into Jesus' day, the Jews once again put the tassels or the tzitzit on a more lavish robe with even a larger hem. And it was the corners of Jesus' garment with the tzitzit that that the lady with the issue of blood, and we read about that in Matthew 9:20, actually touched to get her healing.
Hmm.
You remember that story?
Yes,
don't
that's
you?
A very familiar story.
So why, how did she know that? How did she have the
faith
to do
to
that?
To do that.
Well.
Took a lot of faith because she was a woman. She shouldn't have been touching the rabbi anyway.
Right.
And also she had blood problems. Maybe she was in the time of her month, and that was seriously.
Really, for sure you don't do that.
Yes. Yes.
But where do we get our faith, John? Really, where do we get it?
Well, I've always
positive
heard.
Positive thinking?
Is it? No, we get our faith because in Romans it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the
word of
God.
You betcha. Well, mm-hmm. just so happens in the last book of the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
Malachi, okay, in chapter 4, it is prophesied that the Son of Righteousness would come with healing in his corners. Now, your translation might say wings, and that Hebrew word is kanaf,
mm-hmm.
and it means the corners of the garments. Now, if you're Jewish, you know what's on the corners of the garments.
And that would be?
The tzitzit.
Exactly.
Okay? So she had a prophecy and a promise from God that this Son of Righteousness who would come would have healings in his tzitzit. You know? So it wouldn't be much for her to say, oh, that's the man. You know, probably had heard about him.
He was
healing people. And she jumped through the crowd and touched his garment and was healed.
Wow.
And he even turned around and said, it's your faith that's made you whole.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
That is so cool.
That just shows you there's healing powers in the Word of God because those tassels represent the Word of God.
And it brings to life that story in a way that maybe you've never had it bring to life.
Oh,
brought
yeah.
to life.
Oh, yeah. I heard so many different versions of why that woman, you know, touched his hand. Well, you know. She had faith.
She had faith.
From the Word of God.
Yes.
If you want faith, people, you've got to be in the Word of God. Otherwise, it's just positive thinking, positive confession.
Yes.
We don't want to go there, do we?
No, we don't want to go there. We've
okay.
been down that trusting in the universe path before.
Okay.
We're trusting in the Word of God.
You betcha.
Yes.
Anyway, it was not until the Dark Ages or the time of the medieval Europe actually came the prayer shawl.
Okay.
Oh, and, you know, I should back up a little bit, too. Remember how Jesus said to the Pharisees, he was kind of rebuking them for enlarging the hems of their garments?
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because it made him look important. Because along the hem of that garment,
mm-hmm.
they would actually embroider their genealogy on there. And I don't know exactly if it was inked on or I don't know how they did it. But their genealogy was written on the hem of their garment. So then the larger the hem, the more important they would look.
Yes.
Okay. So he didn't, he said, you know.
He says, in effect, I think Jesus was saying, you're doing this so other people can see you doing this and you can gain their admiration and their approval. But he says, that's your reward right there. It's their admiration and approval. You don't get a reward from heaven. You'll get a heavenly reward for that.
And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But can you explain also right now sort of the mini version that people started wearing basically during the Dark Ages because they really couldn't or didn't even have access to a prayer
shawl. Okay, now you're talking about the Talis Kattan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a mini version. And that is, where could you see a picture of that? Have you ever seen the movie? Fiddler on the Roof.
I did.
Okay, I think they're wearing the Talis Kattan.
Yeah, you can kind of see the tzitzits hanging
underneath, and they come out. And even today, you see the Orthodox wear these. You won't actually see the garment, but you will see the tassels where
So it's like a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's like a T-shirt or an undershirt.
Okay.
And
And then we wear them all the time and remind them of the Torah.
Yeah, it's a daily thing. Put it on just like you would your underwear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
unlike your underwear, there's a part of this that's supposed to be visible.
Right.
You know.
Right. And this would just be for men, right?
For men, yeah.
Okay. And mm-hmm. How old would you be before they would start wearing them?
I'm guessing 3.
Yeah.
Is that too young?
That's what I think I heard, too.
3 years old.
3 years
okay.
old, they would start actually doing that.
Okay.
I just want you to also know, and this comes into focus about how important it is to study the Word of God. some Bibles take liberties and change words.
Okay? Of course, yeah.
To make it sound something more like today, but I have to tell you that in Matthew 23:5, the word is actually garment, and the NIV actually changes it to prayer shawl. But during mm-hmm. Jesus' day, they did not have prayer shawls.
They had the garment.
They had the corners at the end of their garment. Was the tzitzit.
Mm-hmm.
So I just
wanted
to point that out.
That's good.
Okay, and that leads me to tell you some more about the hem of the garment that we've just talked about the genealogy being in it.
Mm-hmm.
This might help you understand why David, remember when he was in the cave
when
Saul?
Saul was chasing him and he found out that Saul was like in the cave.
Yes.
Yes.
Taking care of business.
Taking care of seeing a man about a dog, I think.
Whatever it was.
Yes.
Anyway, David was able to sneak in and he actually cut the hem of Saul's garment. Now, the major thing is that, okay, it showed that he could have killed Saul had he have wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's a little deeper meaning here, because by David cutting the hem of Saul's garment, who probably had a very large border,
mm-hmm.
it was actually giving a signal to Saul that his descendants were cut off.
That's right.
And that's why he cut it. Boy, does that put new meaning into it or not?
That puts meaning into it, too. And for me, it's like, you know that when you go to a synagogue, you do not wear your prayer shawl into the bathroom. You remove it.
Yeah, that's true. They have hooks.
And, of course, when Saul was doing his thing, he had his probably hanging on a hook somewhere in the cave.
You're probably somewhere
or
inside.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's something you don't do.
Yeah.
And there David had an opportunity to cut that.
Yeah. It really meant that he was cutting Saul's future descendants from him. And also in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 24, that's confirmed by Saul's expression, and I'm not quite sure how he put it, but he said, please, David, don't let my descendants destroy him.
Don't destroy my descendants.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
And in actuality, his descendants were destroyed because no one after Saul from his family sat on the throne. In fact, it was David.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
So, a lot of meanings. So, listeners out there, do you kind of understand why Hebraic roots are kind of important?
Yes.
I hope.
Are you understanding that? If you're not, call in. We'll explain it even further. We'll help you out here.
And by the way, when we go to the Oasis Church, I'm going to bring some of these prayer shawls.
Yes.
Okay. And there's even what they call Messianic prayer shawls now, when they actually have the symbol of the grafted in symbol of the very first,
mm-hmm.
what they think was symbol that they wore right after Jesus.
Yes, you come out there and you'll see, we'll have those and you'll see, Ray Lopez, who is a member of that church,
mm-hmm.
he also has a lot of
things to see.
Mm-hmm. That,
Hebraic stuff to see.
I call it the Lopez Museum of Judaica.
Really, you don't,
Judaica.
You really want to come out and see us and take a look at this.
You can meet Pastor Dorta and...
Mm-hmm.
Hear a great sermon. Also, you know, they got a great preacher out there. His name is Pastor Cirillo.
Yes.
Cirillo Cardenia, and he can preach.
Yes.
So, a lot of reasons to come out.
Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, the tallit or the prayer shawl is just a reminder to live God's way and not your own way. Okay. And I want to mention how the blue thread is in the middle of these strings that hang down.
Oh, yes, the commandment to put the blue thread in.
That's right. And there's seven white ones and one blue one. And this would be the color of the blue in the high priest's garment, which, by the way, can only be gotten from a particular type of snail
mm-hmm.
that would worship on the Mediterranean. And I don't know the details on how they did it, but all I know is that after Jesus died on the cross, those snails were no more. They stopped coming.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's not a picture of.
Well, that's a picture of maybe our Savior being in heaven now.
And Jesus fulfilled all that.
And Jesus fulfilled.
You know, they didn't have to do that anymore. So it's pretty cool, actually. However, what I think is interesting is that lately these snails have come back. And I think that's because there's still 7 years to be part of that Daniel's prophecy that it's going to go back to Jewish time.
Or temple time.
Temple time. The temple will be built, and
mm-hmm.
now the snails have returned. I just think that's just awesome.
That sounds That sounds a little funny in one sentence.
Yeah,
Uncle Willie Bell, the snails have returned. But
snails have returned.
But that was really that was the precise color of dye they needed that represented the blue in heaven, I think. It was
a very, very expensive dye. But blue is the color for truth.
It is.
Of course, Jesus is truth.
And Jesus is truth.
And it represents him. He's in the middle of the white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is the servant. He's like the Shemaz in the menorah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it does mean servant bread. So there would be seven white strings.
On the tassel. And then one blue.
Yeah, and the one blue. And that's a total of?
Eight.
Oh, good.
See, I've gotten sharper since the last time we were on the air.
But eight represents new beginnings.
Right.
It means never ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only number that doesn't end.
There you go.
It keeps.
It's the infinity.
Yeah, infinity. And it just so happens that it's the number for Jesus. Now, what a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
But in fact, and here's remarkable thing that I found out, and this is in my newsletter for October, and you can get that online at shofarministries.net. But all his names in both Hebrew and in Greek are evenly divided by the number eight. Now, let me just back up by saying Hebrew and Greek, and I think it's the only two languages that have a number system associated with each letter. I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive because there's like 2,000 languages in the
What about Roman numerals?
Well, yeah, but that's different.
But it is different. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, read my newsletter because it really tells you, and it's amazing, that every single name of Jesus is evenly divisible by his number, which is eight.
That is
no leftovers. And I explain it and give you all the details in that. So
that was in your last newsletter?
Yes, it was.
Okay. You can find that on the
chart. Is in
you can find that on the website now.
Oh, right? Yeah. Okay. Archived. All my newsletters
all
are on there.
Archived, so you can, yeah.
Thanks to Lou.
Thanks to Lou.
By the way, I have to get you his webpage, too. Sunfish, I think it is.
Yeah, it is. I think so. He gave it to me the other day, but I didn't bring the thing.
I know, and I didn't either. But it is Sunfish Design, I'm pretty sure.
Sunfish Design.
Yeah. Yes.
And Sun is spelled S-O-N.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay. Unlike the Bible in Malachi, where it says Son of Righteousness is spelled with an S-U-N, do you know why, John?
Because it is actually the real sun.
Okay. the sun was created on the fourth day, at the end of the fourth day, and at the end of 4,000th year, Jesus came.
Okay. That is so good.
That's the gold nugget.
That's the gold nugget right there.
You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
So here, how do they get 613 out of each corner tassel? Well, I'm going to tell you.
Well, good thing, because I don't, you know, I've looked at these things for years and I couldn't figure it out, so I hope you can tell me.
Well, here's how they did it. They would take the word tzitzit and they count it using the Hebrew numbers for each letter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it actually comes up to 600.
Oh, okay. So the word tzitzit
adds up
to 600.
So then they take the eight strings and you get
608. Okay.
And then you add the five knots and you get
613.
That's it. And that happens to match the total number of the commandments
in
the Torah and what God has given.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. 613 is supposedly the number of seeds in a pomegranate.
I know, I heard that, but I've never sat down and counted them.
Neither have I. I eat them too quickly to count them.
Okay, so today now, the prayer shawl is worn during prayers, okay? And the Jewish people, particularly every morning during their morning prayers or the morning oblation that they call it, it's worn all day long on Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the year. They often kiss the tzitzit, you know, because they're grateful for the word of God.
Yes.
And it's just for a time of any divine devotion that you want to do in meditation, you know, of awe, reverence, sort of like being in your prayer closet, free from outside distractions. And I love this. And I heard this about a year ago, that actually moms that love Jesus and their Bible and the Jews, they have them, and they actually put them on if they have younger children especially. because the children never will disturb the mom when she has her prayer shawl on, because she has instructed them that she's talking to God. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. I bet a lot of moms would like, I've been looking for a force field, and that would, but no, that's a beautiful thing to see that in the home. And you know what? It's like Jesus said, he said that, you know, we're not to wear these things to demonstrate how holy we are before man. It's kind of like an in the home type thing. And, you know, you put the prayer shawl on when you're doing your morning prayers in the morning. Actually, there's afternoon prayers if you're Orthodox. But it's a cool thing.
Yeah. And again, you don't have to have a prayer shawl.
You don't have to have a prayer shawl.
Because Jesus fulfilled everything. You can just talk to Jesus anytime you want to. But some people like symbols.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
It is nice.
And we will, like I say, we'll have some at the Oasis Church on December 6th.
December 6th at what time?
5.
5 o'clock. Okay.
5 o'clock. So, again, I just want to remind you people, please be in the Word of God. You know, we get so busy with the cares of this life, pulling us in every single direction. And, you know, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I've explained this to you before, what it really means. And, again, you have to examine the Hebrew words for knowledge and perish. But knowledge means God's knowledge. It's Da'at, number 1847. In the lexicon, and it's used for God's knowledge in the highest sense, by the way. But the word perish or destroyed is daman, number 1820, and it means to be dumb or silent. And if you really understand what God is saying here, he's saying my people are dumb for lack of my knowledge, or my people are silent for lack of God's knowledge. Silent because you don't know enough about it
to say anything.
You can't speak what you don't know.
That's right.
So, and I got to tell you, people, God is revealing more knowledge today than ever before in the history of mankind. And yet people just don't have ears to hear it. And that makes me sad. We're living in the days of the Laodicean church. It's a lukewarm body that enjoys not doing any more than need to be as far as the Word of God. They like to go to church to be entertained instead of convicted. And most are not even bringing a Bible.
It's sad. It is sad. And we hope that we have sparked your interest enough to challenge us, whatever. Maybe we've made you a little mad or something. That'd be better than you never picking up your Bible.
That's right.
And never asking the question.
If I can make you mad and get you in the Word, then I've done my job.
Yes. That's how we look at it. And the Bible is not an easy book to read. I'll be the first one to tell you that. It's not an easy book
but
to understand.
But it's easier if you get a little bit of knowledge of Hebraic roots, because then you understand what they're saying.
Exactly.
It's much better, people. Let me tell you, and I got two DVDs out right now, Hebraic Roots 101 and Hebraic Roots 101 Part 2. So order them. I think you'll get a lot of information that will help you to and stir you up to continue growing.
And our prayer, too, for you, for our listeners and for everyone that knows that is involved with Shofar, is that you get hungry, that God gives you the spirit of wanting to know him and know him deeper and to be closer to him. And you will get closer to him through his word.
And don't forget one last scripture before we close, Amos 8:11. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of God. People, you better study it now while the time is here.
Don't get discouraged studying your Bible. If you have a question that comes up when you're studying it, don't give up. If you go, this is too weird. No, just email Sheila at sheila@shofarministries.net. Send her your question. Don't give up. If you would like her to speak at your church or a home group, give her an email, sheila@shofarministries.net.
Which, by the way, Monday night, I'll be out in Madison at a home group. If anyone's in that area, give me a call and I'll give you directions.
There you go. Now, this is a listener-supported radio broadcast, and if this show is a blessing to you, then your help is really needed to keep us on the air. So any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the money.